I'm here with the Balalaika and Domra Association of America, their Russian folk orchestra, which will perform this weekend. And they've come from all over the United States to be with us here today. We're going to go around the room and you'll introduce yourselves and what you play or your role in the group. So we'll start over here.
My name is Alexander Tenzer, or Sasha is my nickname, and I'm very excited to be here for the first time. This year I will be directing and conducting the orchestra, working with wonderful musicians. There are several musicians of real international standing from Moscow and from different parts of the United States. So within about 5 days, we're going to shape up our program. There will be soloists, vocal soloists, a balalaika soloist, a domra soloist, and beautiful orchestral Russian folk music.
And Sasha, you direct the orchestra.
Yes, this year I direct the orchestra.
And then we'll go over here if you can
introduce
yourselves.
My name is David Cooper. I'm the music director, conductor of the Atlanta Balalaika Society Orchestra of Russian Folk Instruments. It's a long name. We just call ourselves ABS for short, for Atlanta Balalaika Society. Our orchestra started in 1981. We started in Atlanta with about seven people. It's grown to about 35 now when we do a performance in Atlanta. However, we've come to our convention here with eight of our members, so it's a smaller ensemble, and we'll be starting the program on Saturday night with our ensemble. And we'll feature a balalaika solo, a bayan solo. Bayan is the Russian version of the accordion, and also a singer. Her name is Zhanna Ketslak. She's from Belarus, and she'll be singing two numbers with our orchestra.
Wonderful.
And I'm Judy Sherman, and proud to say I'm the president of this organization now, the BDAA. And I've been involved in that since 1979, since the very beginning. But I was playing before that at UCLA, great group. And gosh, I've known David here since the very, very early days. This year I'm doing a lot of coordinating, but I'm also playing in the orchestra an instrument called the alto balalaika, and running around and trying to help Jan with everything that needs getting done. And I'm a late night partier. That goes on too. It's an important role.
So since you've been doing this and been in this since 1979, this convention is huge, absolutely enormous. You know, so many people coming from so many parts of the world. Why Kalamazoo, you know, such a small town?
Well, it so happens that you have a wonderful Russian festival here in Kalamazoo that we've actually, a number of our members have traveled to perform. I think it happens in the fall, though. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't coordinate that Russian festival with our convention. We usually have it in the summertime because of people's rehearsals, work schedules. And so Richard Barenko, he is a local member of our group, lives here in Michigan, and he volunteered to get it organized and kind of capitalized on the connection with the Russian festival that happens here. I believe it's because Kalamazoo is a sister city with Pushkin, Russia. A city in Russia named after the great poet Pushkin. And so that was the connection. We're always looking for new places to hold our convention, have new audiences to experience. So really what's very unique to have an orchestra of this type, all Russian instruments, as many as 80 people in the orchestra performing at one time. So it's quite a unique event, and we like to take it to different places every year.
So I guess we should explain what the balalaika and domra are. So if anyone would care to do that.
Well, balalaika is a very old Russian folk instrument, And in 19th century, around 1880, a wonderful, very talented musician, Vasily Vasilyevich Andreev, rediscovered it and absolutely fell in love with the sound of this instrument. And great Russian artists, musicians, Tchaikovsky, Tolstoy, they really enjoyed the sound of this instrument, and it became very popular. Andreev was a violinist, and he decided to create and modify those instruments and create different kinds of balalaikas, larger sizes, just like in a regular symphony orchestra, and supplemented with domras, which are four-string instruments, kind of similar to mandolin, which are tuned like violins. So they have quite virtuosic resources, potentials. And there are also different sizes, larger sizes going to bass balalaika and double bass domra, which are, you know, very low, large instruments. You have to be standing up playing them. And so it really sounds very full as a symphonic group altogether.
And I heard that this actually used to be kind of an instrument of the laity, you know, the common man. Isn't that interesting now that we're having this very, very organized, very sophisticated orchestra that we have now?
Yeah, there was a renaissance, resurgence of interest in folk music. In 1862, in St. Petersburg, the first conservatory was formed, and then in Moscow Conservatory. And so it sort of coincided with this nationalistic movement. When Vasily Andreev began playing these instruments, even the Russian Tsar attended his performances, and slowly he kind of sanctioned the appearances of those instruments, which were common for peasants, basically in small villages. He really supported the development of those kinds of music and styles. In fact, Vasily Andreev was hired by the Tsar to teach balalaika for Russian officers and soldiers. And then later on, it was implemented in music schools and conservatories. So nowadays, for over 100 years now, balalaika and domra and Russian bayan, they were taught up to the conservatory level, just like regular instruments.
And there was also a time in which they were banned in churches and things like this. Why was that?
Well, there was a time, as you know, with Stalin's purges and repressions, where certain things were associated with the Tsar's environment, and so a lot of cultural artifacts were suppressed. But there's a huge resurgence of interest, and there are movies filled with balalaika music. There's a whole flow of different ensembles and groups here in the West, too. So last 30 years or so, I would say, in particular.
I think some of the confusion, too, about the balalaika being banned by the church. The Russian Orthodox Church, it's a very traditional Orthodox Church, doesn't allow any instruments other than the human voice in the church. So there's not even an organ in a Russian Orthodox Church. It's strictly the human voice is the only instrument that you would hear in an Orthodox Church.
Wow, that's really interesting. So obviously you yourself are Russian, so the connection there is very easy. But how did you get into this?
I started at the University of Illinois. That's where I went to school. I got a master's in social work and a bachelor's degree in ethnomusicology. So I was studying a lot of music and its relation to various cultures around the world. And the opportunity came when Professor John Garvey started the University of Illinois Russian Folk Orchestra. It's unfortunately no longer in existence, but at the time it was very active. And I originally took it for college credit. That was 35 years ago, and I've never stopped playing.
And Judy, what about you?
Yeah, and David and I are really good examples of Americans who started at universities. I was at UCLA as a music major, specializing in ethnomusicology. About five people in the world. And a man named Steve Wolovnik came out from Pennsylvania. He'd gotten a grant to start a balalaika orchestra at UCLA. So, you know, you're out there taking Bulgarian music and Cretan lira from Greece. And he'd just say, oh, you've got to try balalaika. He was really enthusiastic. And he got a few of us starting with a few chords, said, we're going to go out and play at this Russian restaurant. He would have parties at his house, and he got people all in, you know, all from the music department, the mariachi group, the Persian group. We'd come together at his parties, so we were learning, but we were also socializing and swapping everything we loved about other cultures. And then seven of us went pro because we were in L.A. We didn't know what else to do. We put out a hat, get an agent's card, and, you know. But it's all sort of transformed into this bigger orchestra. You know, that's where we've met everybody. So.
Right. And talk a little bit about the characteristics of Russian and Eastern European, this traditional music. You know, what are some things that that are common?
Well, Russian folk music has a unique sound. It's a very soulful music. You know, the Russian history has lots of tragic moments. The time of troubles, you know, 16th century, 17th century, even the 20th century, one of the worst, really, in the history. Two wars, so many people perished, and Stalin's repressions. So I think that's reflected in the music, in Russian music. A lot of it is sad and soulful, very poetic, lyrical. We call them prolonged Russian songs. Sometimes they have unusual meters, like 5, 4, 7, 4, and unusual structures. That's something that ethnomusicologists, you know, they really get excited about, you know, finding. And people go on field trips, you know, they record those old peasant songs for weddings, for different particular social occasions. And these still exist, those pieces, songs still exist. Now, the sound of balalaika is really unique. The domra sound is sort of close to mandolin. It's very nice and mellow sound, but the sound of balalaika is really unique. It's a very virtuosic instrument, and if played by a true master, true artist, like we have Gennady Zut, who will be performing in a concert, solo and with a group, he can really produce such unusual sounds like a human voice, very rich and loud and soft, and all kinds of shadings are possible. So I think that Russian music has a very unique sound because of its unusual history and development.
Let's talk a little bit about these soloists and some of the highlights of this year's convention, so anyone can start.
Well, let's see. We are bringing back an old friend, Gennady Zut, who's from the Detroit area, master balalaika player, and Sasha Tenser was mentioning him. And he writes an article in our BDAA newsletter every year and, you know, shows a little bit about technique in that. He's very involved. And, you know, here's a Russian man who came to the United States years ago, plays on the highest level. And I just want to mention, balalaika does not use a pick. I mean, that's where you get some of this sensitive sound, stroking the instrument, you know, with his finger. He evokes a lot of emotions. So that's Gennady Zut.
And we've brought Peter Omelchenko is here from Moscow. He's an artist, performing artist, who's actually adapted the Russian music to do other kinds of music, too. We're doing a piece that he arranged by Albanez. It's a kind of flamenco Spanish-sounding piece, which is going to be very recognizable to the audience, but yet he's, rather than playing it on a classical guitar, he's playing it on an alto domra, and it's very rare for an alto domra to be a solo instrument with an orchestra, but he's doing it very effectively.
Any other, anyone else that we should mention?
Oh, well, we should definitely mention our surprise guest, Tatiana Khomenko, who came on her own this year from Kiev, Ukraine, and she is a solo balalaika player, young woman, and she just stayed in touch by Facebook and said, you know, I really want to try and come, and she came on her own. She's a marvelous player, so we're going to figure out, you know, how we can highlight her. Somehow we haven't. She's just here and partying and helping with the workshops. She's, you know, quite amazing.
We, our organization, the Balalaika and Domra Association of America, we place a lot of importance on getting young people involved in the organization. And we're given out 12 scholarships this year to encourage young people to attend and to learn and kind of carry the music forward.
Fantastic.
I wanted to add that Russian music, particularly orchestral, Russian folk orchestra music making, does not stay the same. It really develops with the time. And Russian music in general is very kind of open to different influences, beginning with Mikhail Glinka, called the father of Russian music. He was very interested in Spanish music, Italian music, traveled all around the world. So our program features many of those kinds. We already mentioned about Spanish music, but there will be a lot of kind of jazzy, upbeat tunes, and one piece is performed solo on a xylophone by Ari Nicolini, who is a daughter, a young student at the University of Arizona, and the daughter of my very good friend, Dan Nicolini. I'm associated with the Arizona Balalaika Orchestra in Tucson. And Dan Nicolini is an executive director, so it's an example of family involvement and wonderful music making altogether.
Did we have something over here?
Oh, well, we did want to mention our website, www.bdaa.com. And let's see, Jan is pointing out, it does have the information about the upcoming concert at Channery Hall, but I'm sure we're going to talk about
well,
that.
Well, yes, I did want to talk about that. What are some of the pieces that we're going to hear? You know, obviously don't give it all away, but, you know, if you had one or two that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I had a great, honor of putting this program together. Of course, you know, we included a lot of suggestions from musicians who have been in this group for years, and so there will be orchestral pieces, including traditional Russian tunes, lyrical tunes, very poetic tunes. There will be more dancing type of music. There will be some modern jazzy arrangements made very recently, including lots of syncopation and upbeat rhythms, and even some of the jazzy arrangements. So I don't want to give it all up, but there will be some surprises also in the program. It's a very colorful program. Members wear traditional Russian costumes, all kind of colors. I must say that it really looks very beautiful visually. I think that all of the orchestras, they have huge following in this country. I know that in Tucson, in Arizona, Arizona Balalaika Orchestra has a huge following. People come, you know, to hear this from all over Arizona usually. It's very exciting.
Yeah, and talking about, you know, you're from Arizona, we have Georgia, all of these different places represented. Is it, obviously you don't get the chance to play all together very often.
That is correct.
You know, is that difficult to kind of sit down with so many different musicians and pick it back up?
It takes a lot of rehearsal. And believe me, by the end of the week, our fingers are very sore from the number of hours that we're playing every day. to get really in a relatively short period of time to put a program together like this. And fortunately, Sasha's doing a great job of rallying the troops together. But we're fortunate in Atlanta that we have an orchestra there, so we get to do a lot of this music in Atlanta, not quite the size of the orchestra we'll have here. But so we do a lot of orchestral performances in Atlanta. In fact, the last 2 years we've sold out our cultural center in Atlanta that holds about 600 people. So we've got a good following there with our local group. But it's always nice to see what other groups around the country are doing. And we share music a lot. I mean, when you're playing orchestral music, you have to have an arrangement. You have to have parts for each of the instruments in the orchestra. So it's not something you can go to your local music store and buy. We have to communicate with other orchestras, other directors, arrangers, to find out, you know, what's new, what can we play this year that's new that we haven't given to our audience before. Even though it's a very traditional form, there's still new things happening all the time with this music.
Right. On the press release, it says, you know, during this week, musicians from all over the world will convene in Kalamazoo, participate in these workshops, and then it will culminate in that concert. So it's almost like a deadline. Does it get nerve-wracking?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And especially during the day, you know, we do have these workshops, and that could be beginners, you know, touching the instruments for the first time. So we have a wide range of talent, you know. And then, of course, there are the orchestra rehearsals. And then afterwards, I want to mention, we're playing tunes in a more casual manner. We're doing a lot of cabaret-style tunes that we know and love, and the gypsy music, which Russians are passionate about and always have been. Nobility has always loved their gypsies. And so, you know, we have a lot of common ground that we play without music and do that for hours in the night. That has brought us all together for many years.
Another thing that we're trying this year that's kind of unique, we realize that not everybody gets to see these instruments that we play, and so we're setting up a balalaika petting zoo at the concert out in the lobby where we'll have several instruments on display so that people can kind of touch them and strum them and see what they look like up close. We think it's going to be an interesting aspect of the program.
And we were talking earlier about, you know, how you've all been staying up until the wee hours of the morning, you know, having a good time. Is that, you know, is this maybe one of your favorite parts of the year, going to this convention?
It's my favorite. Has been for 36 years.
It's like a family reunion in many ways because we, you know, a lot of the people do come every year. And so it's, you see our old friends again that we haven't seen since the previous year.
I think that that's about all that I had. Is there anything that we didn't talk about? Anything else that we should mention?
Did we mention the time of the concert, 7 p.m.?
Oh, right. Yes, the concert is on July 12th at Chenery Auditorium at 7 p.m., and that is on 714 South Westnage Avenue here in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, tickets still available through the Miller Auditorium. I guess that's a real ticket central here, but...
Yep, and $20 for tickets.
$20 for quite a show.
Oh, yeah. It's a bargain. So anything else that...
Well, I just wanted to say that if you come to the show, you really will enjoy something special, something unique. It will be like a travel to a different, distant place. I think everybody will be touched by the cultural atmosphere, by the passion of the people involved. And we hope that people will enjoy and appreciate the culture.
Yeah, we do want to mention also that people can join the BDAA. If they come and they fall in love with the music or they're just intrigued, you know, we'll bring our membership forms. We will have examples of our newsletter, fun articles. A lot of people travel around.
And lots of CDs for sale, too.
CDs.
Yeah, it's very easy for guitar players to adapt to those instruments. So we have former guitar players who really mm-hmm. fell in love with balalaika or domra, and we hope to meet more.
I can imagine someone who especially likes picking would really love the balalaika. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for being here.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
And that was the Balalaika and Domra Association of America.